Welcome to another installment in the CTO series, a podcast where we interview CTOs and VPs of engineering from across Australia and New Zealand to share insights on building technology at fast-growing companies. Hey Dennis, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you coming on, joining the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
It's all right. Look, we caught up and we got talking about e-commerce, the differences between e-commerce, technology companies, pure software companies. And I'm really excited about chatting to you today about this topic. I hope you're excited as well. I know it's something you're really passionate about.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly one I'm passionate about. I've learned a lot. I've a lot more to learn about. So appreciate the opportunity to talk through it and see what else I can take away on my own learnings.
So before we jump into this topic of e-commerce and the role of technology in e-commerce, I just want to give everyone a bit of a picture of where you are now. You're the CTO at Pet Circle. I just want to help everyone get some context on Pet Circle, your role and the role of technology. So could you start with just a tiny little blow around what Pet Circle is?
Yeah, Pet Circle, for those that don't know, is Australia's largest online pet supplies store, founded in 2011. We are so much more than just a pet store, though, or a retail store. We're focused on integrated pet care from a platform point of view that's here 24/7 for our pet families across the country. We offer online vet advice, telehealth, an auto delivery subscription service, and our own dedicated fleet, where we really focus on being on the doorstep of our customers when they need us as soon as possible, right across the country.
And I'm a happy Pet Circle customer. And actually, that dedicated fleet of delivering things is amazing, because when I forget the dog's food and I quickly jump online, it's there so quickly, which it's super impressive. And I guess we're going to get to some of the behind the scenes of making that happen, because it's no easy feat. Just would love to know a little bit more, just for some more context. So your role as the CTO, where does that fit in the organization? What are you responsible for? What are you not responsible for?
Yeah. So as CTO, we're supporting in technology over 700 people across the country. We've got a professional team here in Sydney, and we've got a presence in Brisbane, Perth, and Melbourne as well. We're looking after over 13,000 products or SKUs that deliver to the pet families. In technology, we have product focused on the digital product side of things. We have colleagues in another function, our business managers and category managers, focused on that physical product, not directly in my sphere of influence and support. But there's the digital product, as I mentioned. There's engineering, infrastructure, and IT operations. As you can imagine, with all those physical locations and also the fleet out to customers, there's a lot happening in our colleagues' area in logistics and fulfillment, and we support that through product engineering as well as IT operations. And there's the best part of 60 of us in that group.
Yeah, okay. And how does that kind of team break down? Is it all engineers, a lot of kind of DevOps or systems administrator? Yeah, what's that team break up into?
Yeah, it's always evolving to some degree. So there's 12 in product, and product is product managers and product design. Then in engineering, we have got two customer and business-facing tribes. One, the customer tribe, which has the best part of 16 engineers that focus on our site experience, obviously, but also the communications to customers and supporting our MarTech stack and our colleagues in marketing. So that's the broader definition of customer tribe and the customer area. In the operations tribe, we've got a logistics squad, we've got a fulfillment squad, tooling that supports the internal operations of all the different functions, and more recently an own fleet, where we're going another step after focusing through COVID on having a dedicated fleet. for our customers' value, now to actually taking ownership as well of the full fleet experience in-house in Perth.
And how do you think about, did they run different processes? Is there like a mandated everyone runs the same version of Scrum, or is it a mix, or like how do they all work together?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question because there's no binary answer in terms of how we've approached it. It's been coming through COVID, a case of evolving to work from remote and coming back together. We've also doubled the team in size through that period. So we're squad centric in our day-to-day way of working. So that does mean that they get a lot of control themselves in the most effective way to approach the day-to-day development. We are agile in that high-level sense, but in that we're running fortnightly scrums, and we do have a good chunk of the ceremonies. We're not dogmatic on them, and we know there's pros and cons to that. So it continues to be in flux. I'm actually excited to evolve the relationship between product and engineering today. Like I'd say, it's always changing. So we're reviewing and redefining it right now. But what served us really well through COVID in the last 2 years and building that logistics fleet was actually that squad by squad or team by team agency with the minimum interfaces, the showcase fortnightly, and knowing that sprint reviews were happening and that stakeholders are pulled in at the right time through those processes that each of the teams are running.
And that's super interesting that you've allowed that agency or empowerment or whatever you want to talk about. Do you find yourself having to resist the urge of, here's the one, like, you know, the bits that you kind of fight on in terms of what the key ceremonies or interfaces are?
I have to fight the urge to get involved and create that conversation personally. Yeah. And we've got lots of smart people in the group that do in different ways get involved in that conversation. But because today it's so team-centric, it tends to be a case-by-case, apart from the primary ceremonies. And again, I've actually spent more than a decade in SaaS product companies where I would have treated it quite differently and we would have been a lot more aligned. Here, though, when you actually look across the whole business, you've got a set of colleagues in marketing that are nearly as many. You've got 20 or 30 people in business management and category management. You've got hundreds of people in our warehouses and tens of people in management and supporting those warehouses. So there's a lot more happening in the business, which circularly goes back to, if we get really organized and hyper-controlled in our space, we're not as effective at working at the different cadences around us. So the pros and cons there of being aligned or flexible and versus dogmatic and, you know, sprint Bibles and following it to the letter.
So I just want to dig into that, and you've almost preempted my next question of like, what are the differences between, you've got that background, like you said, a decade in SaaS, in ed tech, but it was a SaaS product. Now you're in e-commerce, which has some difference. Let's dig into like the differences. You're talking about marketing, who I imagine some people would think of it as digital, where it's that really high pace, like let's go and test 5 different ads in a day and see what converts better, right through to you've got logistics, where a change to a warehouse, like you just can't go and modify a warehouse layout to A/B test it. Like it's not a thing that you can do. Yeah. Or just suddenly spin up. It's interesting to think about, but not as easy as clicking some buttons. Yeah. Like, what are those differences when it gets to how the team runs and how you organize that start separating things out so you can be more effective?
Yeah, I'm briefly on that A/B test side. Well, like to a degree, you know, that Perth-owned fleet is actually a real-world A/B test. And, you know, we do talk in the exec, in the rest of the business about test and learn and how we want to create and build value for our customers and for our business. So there is versions of that. But as you allude to, different paces, different capital investments involved when you get physical. So back to that broader, you know, from a CTO seat and what I've tried to do in terms of how I think about the similarities and dissonances and how I can support and challenge teams coherently, I actually break it into three buckets. And this is to a degree coming from my SaaS product engineering bias in edtech, but I see there being digital, as you call out, and that space of marketing, and damn, the speed marketing move at times is so enviable and awesome. And then there's those conversations with product about how much coherence gets traded off. And we as a business are privileged to really talk about LTV a lot and how we're focused on that long-term relationship with our customer.
LTV being lifetime value of a customer.
CTO slipping in acronyms already.
The amount of revenue that you can expect to get from a customer over time, just for the audience. But sorry, keep going. Yeah.
So we have that long-term horizon outlook.
Yeah.
And that complements product, right? In terms of, you know, wanting to be rigorous, wanting to build for the long term and connect with customer. And not saying that marketing and other functions don't want to do that either, but they also have local KPIs in the marketing world, and, you know, dollars being spent every day on marketing, and they've got real tight feedback loops on the effectiveness and the deployment of that spend. And our colleagues in logistics on the other side have got real world KPIs and physical movement of goods that has to happen, otherwise promises get broken. So product's kind of privileged in the middle to be, especially when in purely software world, to be in control of our time and in control of a lot more and have a lot less heavy lifting to do or immediate measures beside us as our core. So that's why I bucketed in digital product and product building and the physical. And our engineering teams and our product managers that support those engineering teams find themselves moving between those three different buckets. It's not always a case that you're in one and you stay in your lane. The exciting thing for me, especially as we've gone through in more recent times, is having the opportunity to really focus on connected value and actually thinking about, well, now that we run our own fleet, how do we connect that to the digital experience for the customer? How do we let them know how what our delivery time offerings are right now based on the real world capacity for their area? And how perhaps upstream do we connect that and bring that to the marketing offering? So that connecting between those three is the really exciting space that engineering and product teams are evolving to play in here.
And you say that people can be working across the almost end-to-end or in different parts. Is that a deliberate move? Was it deliberate initially? Did it evolve? Has it been a bit accidental, maybe, out of that pure? Because I know, you know, Pet Circle's had some amazing growth. Maybe that scrappy, just like, hey, there's a thing that needs to be done. You've just got to do it. Yeah, I'm really curious to hear about that.
Yeah, look, I think our CEO, who definitely is a key genesis for some of this, will have a slightly different view, and did seed some of the early components, right? From moving, we were depot based with couriers. So that meant that we were going into somebody else's depot, for the engineers in the audience, a black box we couldn't see or control. And what that meant for our customers was a lack of understanding, a lack of visibility for the goods they've asked to receive. That had to change through COVID. And that initial idea from Mike Frizzell to really focus on point-to-point experiences and dedicated fleet created the opportunity to build a more connected system from the capacity side. And then on the marketing and demand side, there's so much more to do there. And it just becomes obvious once you take that step of control in the last mile that we can do better for our customers, that we can also evolve our relationship with Google and others, right? You know, there's, as e-commerce and as anybody trying to advertise in 2022, there's, you know, dominant players in the market, and we want to make sure that we're able to engage and use them in the right way on our terms. So, you know, also working with Terram, excited to bring that mobile app to market as well. That's another part of us controlling the experience and how we engage with our customers upstream that connects to that set of products and the fleet that we're offering. So yes, to your question, it was somewhat organic. But I think it was very obvious within the first 9 months that we were building something that had this potential to be connected. And actually, in our very first offsite together as exec post-COVID in early 2021, that was the whole topic, right? How are we bringing these different assets that we have built and are building together to create a better customer value as a platform and a foundation? And on top of that, of course, like I led with the different services, the nature of the products that we actually offer, right? I'm really talking under the hood here when I talk about the MarTech stack and the logistics and how we build product. And I'm mindful that from a customer's perspective, it's still one degree above that in terms of the vet advice we bring and the right product at the right time. This platform facilitates that.
And I guess that's kind of, what do you think separates, well, most of you say the difference between e-commerce and software, but I'm almost just mindful listening to you talk that there's almost this category in between. And I think a Pet Circle is really like a tech, or I want to say customer led, but everyone says customer led. But when you think of Pet Circle, you think of like, well, or I think about a technology company as well as a retailer at the same time, which is quite different to your kind of e-commerce coming from retail perspective. What is it that defines that in your mind? You know, it's like you're a software company delivering things, or I'm trying to piece it, you know, this is where I'm struggling with my exact categorization. How do you think about that distinction?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned customer there. And yes, there are some tropes and so on. But we really are aiming, we are there to facilitate and support pet families across the country. Where we are aiming is to truly be pet centric, right? And understand and be the support and experts for those pet families across the country.
Technology is your key, one of your key kind of, I'm going to use the word weapon, but like it's one of your key tools in solving that problem versus, because you could easily have the same mission, but technology doesn't have a seat at the table, so to speak.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Very true. Now, I am biased in my own career, given I worked at a bank for a brief period of time in my very earliest career, and I was in the IT department, but it didn't feel like we had a true seat at the table, even from my junior's seat. Every other career I've had, technology has either been the majority or the key to the rest of the business. And actually here, I've felt we are one of the material tools, as I think you just kind of called out. And I'm glad that, yeah, I'm making enough sense for you to see that as well, in that it is really important. And yes, sometimes others, and even in terms of how we talk about ourselves to investors, we are a technology-led or technology-facilitated business. It's really, really important here. As CTO, I'm not wanting to deprioritize that headline, but it has to be connected, just like the digital product and physical buckets. It is the physical products that the customer cares about, the services that the customer cares about, and how they get them delivered. Sometimes it is that we are doing digital discovery and there is the right journey for the customer. Sometimes it is that we really need to capture the right data about our products and about the customer and pet context so that we can present the right value proposition or the right products for their use case, in terms of thinking about jobs to be done as a really good product framework and way of thinking. There's so many different ways to approach that, and technology is the facilitator not the driver. So we're working alongside all these other skill sets and functions in the business. And that's why it's a real privilege to work at Pet Circle, because it is ridiculously dynamic in terms of the bar we set ourselves for connected work and connected way of thinking. And it's complex, and we make it even more complex for ourselves sometimes, because we want to solve the hard problems and really bring that value to pet families.
How do you get your head across, not just your head, but your team's head across so many different components in that, right? Because on the one hand, you've got that really fast moving marketing technology where you're integrating to data feeds and pushing your products out to others. And it's kind of that whole, almost you're moving bits and bytes at a really fast speed around, right through to the logistics, which is equally fast moving logistics and customer service, but in a different way. And you've also got buying, like you know the whole physical product experience. How do you get your team's heads around, or how do you even get your own head around those different pieces?
It's not easy. And like I kind of gave a nod to when talking about the nature of Agile and our structure, it's always in flux. We set it up for a period of time and we bias it. And knowingly, like, we've had product and technology very close together for quite a period, and it is valuable, especially as we've focused on getting the fundamentals and the foundation right. And now as we evolve and move forward into next phase, we're actually really want to focus on product and our category buyers and our business managers being much closer together. That I, as a CTO, and my colleagues and teams I support can bring the right technology value to the right job to be done, right? Understanding what data is actually important about the pet, when is it important and why? What are we trying to help surface from our product range or services or other contexts for the customer? And that's where I'm very excited to see where product continues to evolve and go as they get closer to the other functions. And we as technology will focus on platform. So that's a current evolution of the structure as we continue to evolve the problem we're trying to address, or the part of the problem we're trying to address. So that's the flux.
And in that context, you kind of have some big customer journey maps that you've mapped out with the jobs to be done for them, that everyone in the business kind of goes, yeah, that's what we're solving for. Obviously, it's never that clean. There's a bit of debate around things, but like, because what I guess where I'm getting to is, at some point you've got to prioritize things as the technology team, right? And you've usually got things flying, especially in your environment where you've got multiple competing stakeholders kind of, I guess, vying for a bit of technology's time. How do you think about prioritizing? Because you seem to do a good job of it around what the customer wants, I should say. So I'm really curious about how you think about it.
Yeah, definitely the teams spend time thinking through the customer journeys and context there. It never feels like enough. And I will say, you know, back to that point of technology is working in partnership with all other parts of the business, we haven't really brought that into every other part of the business fully enough. We've been focused on building key assets, that platform. And I think that next level, that next phase rather, involve a larger version of that, as well as one of the other areas I'm really excited to see recently evolve is cross-functional tribes. So the rest of the business, I don't know if they're just stealing all of our names and I should be worried, or it's a great reflection of contagion from technology into the rest of the business, that both tribes have a cross-functional whole of business meaning now, as well as even last week I was talking about sprints. Sprints got redefined to mean 1 to 2 months in somebody else's plan because they like the vernacular.
Okay.
That's evidence that as we tackle the next set of problems on top of these assets, other parts of the business are really starting to work closely with us, and we're starting to embed in their spaces. So
yeah, right. So when you say cross-functional, there's someone from logistics or warehouse
Yeah, so it's really valuable to validate. I'm not talking about a QA, DevOps, and a developer in a squad. Yeah. I'm talking whole of business cross-functional. Where we're getting a marketer and somebody from logistics and somebody from product and engineering. How we're surfacing the value of our delivery options. If we've got technology understanding capacity, if we've got an amazing next day offering, how are we connecting that value to the customer base? And we're working across all those skill sets in these tribes that we invest in for a period of quarters and sponsor and set out different missions, and they iterate and evolve within those.
Yeah, so that's super exciting. And just kind of changing tack a little on that is, how do you think about, and how does the business think about what the product is? So, and just for a bit of context on, for everyone listening, as to why I'm asking this question, is because Pet Circle is a good tech driven e-commerce retailer, almost like technology first retailer, has its digital experience, so its web, mobile experience. But it's also at another level, if I look at me as a customer and I'm ordering some dog food, doesn't matter how good the app is, if the dog food's no good or, and then again, there's the whole delivery experience. So the dog food could be great, the ordering experience could be great, but if the thing doesn't show up when I expect it to, or someone like just throws it over the fence and it's broken everywhere, then that's another aspect of the experience. So What's the product? We've used the word product a couple of times. Like, what is the product in your context?
Yeah, definitely has two different meanings. I'm actually reminded when we first met, Scott, and we were talking about discovery had two different meanings, because I've already discovery on this call, and I'm not talking about product discovery at the start of a project. I'm actually talking about our potential customers and existing customers coming on site and discovering the products we offer them. And in that vernacular, I've got two different meanings from what I would have thought discovery and product meant for the decade I spent in SaaS. So discovery coming on site, I am not hunting. I'm not specifically after a product that I already know I need as a pet parent. I have got a problem to solve, or I've got some other reason I'm coming to the site, even for leisure. You'd be amazed, especially Halloween, Christmas, other periods. There are so many loving pet parents out there that browse our site, and they're there to discover products. And in that meaning of the word product, it is the physical good. And I'm mindful I have a product team, and that difference in the two meanings, we jump between really organically. But when we talk about product, it generally means the especially when the customer is in context, it always means the physical good. And that is where digital product gets put in every now and again, if we have to differentiate between the two.
And what about the experience level? Where does that play into this? Because it's almost just as important as well.
And even experience is broader than we've been chatting about so far, right? There is, you know, the site experience, there is the delivery experience, there is all of these experience points, which are touch points our customers have with us as Pet Circle, with what Pet Circle offers them through services or through the physical goods. And I've actually not mentioned our amazing customer service team that are another major touch point. I've talked about our vet advice, and we do have over 32 vets on staff, but we also have over 130 CX members that are also there 24/7 to support our pet families. And they're often in a position to give great advice as well, definitely about our product range and any of our, you know, delivery services and other services. So all of those experience points, and even that experience team in customer experience, are touch points for the customer. And product has a level to facilitate some of those. You know, we don't lead and define how the customer experience team work. They're a peer function, but we actually have a tooling squad that supports and embeds in their area and has been facilitating them and supporting the customer in a more coherent way. We have data and other teams that are really important to getting the right reporting and other visibility to them. And then when it comes back on site and delivery, you know, we have our different ways of working. Like we talked about the three buckets earlier.
Yeah.
You know, that logistics and delivery side, we're in the physical bucket. We're in some version of the digital bucket with our customer experience, but from an internal operations point of view rather than directly customer facing. So, yeah, there's a lot to it and it keeps evolving and it gets busier, but we keep stepping up to meet the opportunity that we have to support over 700,000 customers across the country. So fun every day.
And so on this, you mentioned the tooling team. It's really interesting to think, how do you think about build versus buy, especially in the context of the end-to-end stack you're building as well, where you're so customer-focused? It's just a fascinating problem. There's a lot I could kind of riff on when it comes to the challenges there. You know, if you're buying a technology solution, often it can limit you in how innovative you can be, especially with that end-to-end nature you're going for. You can start getting siloed around tools. But at the same time, if you're having to build every single bit of innovation that you're trying to do in your warehouse on the front end, like that's a lot of building cycles, very expensive. You know, how do you think about build versus buy versus partner?
Yeah, we think about it in terms of we have to always be thinking about it. One of the things that I didn't address at the start was we are very much focused up until now on owning our own stack in full. So I didn't go into too much detail, and I certainly should now. Just two monoliths in terms of the customer site experience and the back office. Everything. It's an ERP, it's a CRM, it's a warehouse management system, it's an everything platform, and a chunk of microservices in the middle. It's a Java stack on the Google Cloud platform. And that means, to your latter point there, we own everything. And one of the natural cons of that can be velocity at times, but one of the pros of that is really effective control and specialization. And that's given us a huge amount of value, especially through COVID. We had a very near the end of the major, you know, struggles here within Australia, I think circa September. So right a month after the lockdowns here in Sydney, after our friends in Melbourne had been through so much, we finally had a case in one of our warehouses that resulted in the facility being shut down in Sydney. And that meant we stopped selling for 2 weeks. But within 4 days, the team was able to adapt and get our Perth facility back on deck and separate it, which it had never actually done before. Historically, they're tightly coupled as facilities in right. terms of how the orders flow and everything else. But the team did an amazing job, burnt some midnight oil, unfortunately, but really rode in and knew they were working for pet families in Perth, where there was no reason other than digital technology that was preventing us from offering value to them while our teams had to clean and deal with the cases on site in Sydney. We went on to build that as a core feature. So that unique per warehouse, able to facilitate orders for our customers, mean we get to bet on speed and being so quick to Sydney and every other doorstep metro-wise. That ownership of technology has been really valuable, But then on the other side, as we scale, as we look at all those different functions I've given a nod to in the business, our demand planning colleagues, our marketing colleagues, et cetera, there's not enough time in the day to build all the tools and functionality that could make their jobs more impactful for customer value, let alone our primary and the customer tribe focus of directly creating feature and function value for customer. So as you said, prioritization a little bit earlier is really hard. And that's where the buy conversation comes in as not an actual tension, but an opportunity. We can buy if we're very clear on what we're doing with the buy. If we bring it in, bring any given tool in that holds to our needs for connected system, will we be able to offer that speed of delivery? Will we be able to offer that data insight to inform X and Y? Like, as long as we're not trading off some of those core principles that we have written down and codified, then we are simply talking about ROI on a tool. And the removing the opportunity cost of having our internal team not be on something else. Right. So that's where, again, I'm slightly biased because I've had a lot of my career in build first and a major percent bespoke in the business. So I'm excited to be on that balancing act right now and just very carefully bringing in certain buys, but knowing that we're holding to maximizing value for customer and business through integrating those. And we're almost never bringing something in, even at an ERP level, right? We're looking at considering an ERP at the moment, and we're not bringing it in to be enterprise.
The center of the world.
The center of the world. We're looking at it to be another component and an informing tool of our operational bespoke tools.
A capability. It's like the one way I think about it and hear us. So it's like providing a capability instead of being too often organizations can buy a technology and suddenly they become defined by that technology that they bought versus the other way around. So what about at the but okay, so in the warehouse you're doing the picking and packing, you know, you're printing out the system prints out the picking and packing slips and everything. What about robotics in the warehouses? Are you building for that? Where do you draw the line on that?
Yeah, there's definitely some exciting innovation in the space, and you know, it's a privilege for me being a software guy, right? But nosy and curious, I get to see so much more, and by bringing and seeing technology in the physical world as well. So we're definitely researching and looking at a major chunk there as we continue to grow our footprint in the country. We've done a lot within the bounds of our strengths already. We have two separate teams historically in terms of the warehouse and then the software, and they really complement and facilitate each other. But it is that direct interface, right? We have built our own PDA software that helps the individuals around the warehouse in terms of picking and packing and replenishment. And we've done all of that bespoke. And it's one of the things that I have been so impressed by our teams on both sides, really customizing that to the nature of what is a very broad SKU range, right? Across 15,000 products, physical products. We have 20 kilo bags and we have 50 gram leads or other small accessories and everything else in between. So what we have to facilitate our colleagues in those functions doing for efficient pick and pack or efficient replenishment of all of these different sizes is really dynamic. And the flexibility of the software there has been really great. That said, as we scale, there's lots of opportunities to look at robotics and where we see the integration points. We're investing a lot more in architecture now so that we can make sure that as the system gets more complicated and more of it gets digitized through robots, et cetera, where we're coherently able to bring that in and use that for business value. One of the other things I was just thinking about as well, whether it be looking into robotics and where we're mechanizing and optimizing the efficiency of warehouses, or back to the ERP, we're not buying our way out of a problem. We're falling in love with the problem and owning it all the way through. And then we, in that situation, if we're really in love with the problem, we will bring in third-party software or hardware,
right, yeah, yeah,
part of the solution. So often, I think accidentally, we all fall into the buy my way out of a problem path. And that's what we're really holding ourselves back from, knowing the broader connected mission that we have for pet families.
Do you find you've got to sit with teams and get them to sit with the problem? I feel as technologists, you're always, especially the engineer in me, it's like, oh, it's an opportunity to do something cool, and you jump straight into solution. Do you find part, like, you got to kind of bring teams back a bit and go, hang on, is this even a problem we want to solve? Is this something that's important to us?
Yeah, there's definitely versions of that. Because of the success of the business, in terms of how I was mentioning earlier, we work quite cross-functionally at a whole of business level. You actually find that there's a lot of the right voices in the room, so that they don't naturally let themselves get that far in. Yeah. But sometimes then it is a case of missing, actually, do we really need this whole area? If we think one level higher for our network as a country as a whole, do we really need to do it this way in these warehouses? Or when we're thinking about the flow of orders, I get the fulfillment team and the logistics team, you're optimizing here at this level with your colleagues in those areas. But what if we change something on the cart or the order management system, one level higher? That level of thinking is the equivalent problem I find here.
Yeah, interesting, because that was going to be my next question. And it sounds like that's one of the great benefits of that cross-functional nature that you're talking about, is you can get that dialogue around, you know, I'm even thinking like, oh, well, what if we standardized on when we bought particular products, if we standardized on the boxes that they're in or something, maybe that optimizes our warehouse better, because all of a sudden, oh, and then we're able to use some lower hanging robotics technology to, like, I just feel like it sounds like you're having those really interesting conversations of, if we change how orders are placed or received, or then we get this amazing experience thing happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really exactly that, right? There's always a slightly broader way or earlier way to look at the problem, even down, yeah, to the boxes, you know, whether it be considering our sustainability and effectiveness on the boxes. Are they absolutely necessary given our ownership of the last mile and the vans? So things like this about connecting the assets that we've built for environmental, customer and business value. Those are opportunities in front of us, but they're also somewhat hard for everyone every day to be watching out for, because you have to get up and have an impact in the area that you can have an impact at any time. So that's where I was saying earlier, sometimes it's more complex, and that can be a little frustrating, but it's always exciting because you know it's valuable, and you know, while some of the ideas won't bite, the ones that do can really be game changing.
And just to finish up, because we're kind of getting close to time, I really wanted to, the last question I want to ask you is, what's the next step in e-commerce technology? Like, what do you think about as the future? Because PetCircle is out there on the edge of this. What do you see as coming next?
Yeah, so we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, the foundation systems and the way of working. And that's obviously facilitating that last mile and logistics I've talked about, especially coming out of COVID. It was obvious through COVID, it was a really strong bet, and that remains. But that next level is going to have a lot more to do with that customer experience and the data around that, the understanding of our products at scale, the connecting our customers and their pets to the right context. So we've put a huge investment into data, our data environment. We've got I've got a 12 plus colleagues beside technology in a data and algorithms function that are just doing so many exciting things, and how we continue to work to have product, data, and engineering with the rest of the business bring that to life for customer value, and how e-commerce will then evolve beyond a listing page alone. Don't think listing pages in and of themselves are going anywhere, but their evolution as being more customized and effective for the job to be done, through to other experiences on that digital journey, or the touch points, right? We've talked briefly about the mobile app, also the communications we send to customers. There's so much that we can do on that data side. And I know Pet Circle are, we're working on it already with more to do.
It sounds like what's in my mind listening to you talk is really this evolution beyond, like an online retailer into really more of a relationship with people. Yes, they're buying goods, but that's almost a, just one, listening to you talk, that's one part of what the future of e-commerce kind of is looking like. It's this much more intimate relationship facilitated by technology that I guess you probably got if you walk into your vet and they get to know you really well, but facilitating this at scale through technology, close relationship, yeah, it's super interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually was reading some more customer analysis this morning from one of our key suppliers and brands. My own dog Fido is a big fan of. I was a customer of Pet Circle for 5 years before I joined them. The vet is the source of trusted advice by far for pet families across Australia and in most parts of the globe. So how we help customers is by bringing a version of that online for our vet team, but also how do we scale that and make that insight more impactful for user journeys when it's not possible to have a human directly involved. I'm very, very excited to see where we can go there and where we as a specialist e-com. I don't think every e-com has this path in front of them, but we have a specialist vertical, digital first. Those things complement and come together to make this the big opportunity we have to really improve pet families and help them pet better.
That's awesome. You even got the slogan in at the end. The PR team happy. Will be happy. Dennis, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scott. Really fun to chat.